I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Well, bad news, good news situation. The DJ Preps football preview show is going on a hiatus for a while due to just consistent technical obstacles.
Yeah.
But good news, well, A, we still have the podcast here. Mm-hmm. And B, we still got pizza today.
Yes.
From Pizza Doctor. They've been sponsoring the football show, so I guess now they're probably going to end up sponsoring the podcast.
Hey, I'm down for it.
I'm down for it. I mean, it's a good trade-off. Mm-hmm. We get pizza.
Maybe you can't visually see the pizza like you could in the
show. Just trust me. We got Mexican and five cheese today. Delicious.
We can do like a five-minute segment of like how it looks and give a visual, right?
We could like eat on the air like...
That would drive me nuts. You ever seen those people that, like on TikTok and stuff that eat, like they'll eat food, make food, and like, oh, this is what I'm eating today. This is my lunch. This is my dinner. And they just sit there and eat, and like they have like 15 million followers and stuff.
How is that entertaining?
I don't know, but it drives me nuts because like if you ever watch them, they're like, and it's just like, oh, that just drives, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me.
I'm on the wrong line of work. Okay, well, welcome into the show. You just threw me off the whole TikTok eating thing. Where are we? It's Wednesday, the 20th of October. You can, just to remind you, you can find us every week in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. What, Dylan?
Is this episode 250?
Oh, last week we forgot. Last week was episode 250, yeah. And we totally forgot to say anything about it.
Yeah, that's what,
So it was a milestone, just like I missed the 200th. I missed all the milestones. I just don't think about them until
after. Welcome to 251.
Yeah, episode 251. We're only going to get better. Shouldn't be hard. Okay. We got a lot of football to talk about. We have some volleyball. We got the state championships coming up on Saturday. We'll have athletes of the week as well. Try not to keep you too long. Let's jump into the football rewind, looking at some of last week's results. And, whoo boy, Madison Central put it on Tupelo, 35-3. Honestly, wasn't that close.
Yeah.
I didn't. That's the worst game I've probably seen Tupelo play in the past two seasons. And Ty Harden, the coach, after the game said it was probably the worst loss of his career. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know how to explain it other than I think it's not the talent level. That's not it. And honestly, I don't think it's the coaching. They got great coaches. Something going on between the ears of these players because they did not play like the Tupelo I had gotten used to seeing those first 5 weeks when they started 5-0. They have now lost three straight. They got lit up by a quarterback, Vic Sutton, who has thrown the ball pretty well this year but hasn't had to, A, because they run it so well, but B, just, you know, he's not like he's going to be playing in the SEC someday, but, boy, he had a good night against Tupelo. 14 of 21, 241 yards. That's a career high for him. He had three touchdown passes. Two of those went to this kid, Isaiah Spencer.
He's guy, a Division I prospect.
He is good, and he did burn the Tupelo secondary more than once. Two touchdown catches, had another long catch that set up a touchdown. And, you know, that Tupelo secondary has been pretty good. In fact, Fred Adams back there and Zach Pratt, those two in particular. Now, Jamal Edwards was out, but they did get the Herring kid back. But it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, you know, Madison Central did what it wanted to do. And they ran the ball pretty well, too. Robert Dumas, little 5'6", 150 scat back type, but he can run between the tackles. In fact, at one point, he pushed the pile about 10 yards. Sometime in the second half, I was like, okay, by that point, you could tell Tupelo was kind of done. It was a blowout by that point. But he had 170 yards. And so then offensively, Tupelo, you know, they've had some good games, some not-so-good games. You know, it's not a powerhouse offense by any means, but could not get anything done offensively. And again, I don't know how to explain it because they got talent. They got plenty of talent. So
they got a get right game this week, as you like to call it.
Yeah, Murrah.
This is the week you got all the issues offensively, defensively, whatever it is.
Get your confidence back.
You know, I think we're all pretty safe in saying they're going to end the 3-game losing streak this week.
I feel like they will.
And so Murrah is obviously struggling pretty heavy this year. So this is a get-right game for both sides of the ball. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Get all those things kinked out, any injuries, all that stuff. Like, work it out this week because after that, it don't get easier because the rest of this division slate, everybody in this division is really good except Murrah.
Right.
So right. You if you want any playoff hope at all, it's you know,
and they pretty much have to win out to make playoffs. So yeah, as the guys on Letterkenny say, figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay, Baldwin and Potts Camp, big division game there in 1-2A in Baldwin. Not too surprising because they've been playing so well lately. They just kind of ran roughshod over the Cardinals.
Yeah, and I think if you look at this final score, you know, Baldwin ends up winning 49-13. I think you look at that final score and you think, that's what Baldwin's supposed to do to Potts Camp. But that's what you say if you're thinking about a Potts Camp team from like 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
This Potts Camp team's pretty good. I mean, they gave Eupora a game. I think they started the season like 4-0, 5-0, something like that, or 4-0. Yeah, but they've got some athletes on that side of the ball for Potts Camp, and Baldwin was able to, for the most part, limit it. And it was a kind of a weird first quarter because Baldwin jumps out first drive. They get a 26-yard touchdown run from JoJo Christian, who's having a really good year for them in the backfield. And then Jamari Marshall ran another one in there. Next thing you know, blink of an eye, Baldwin's up 14-0. You think, okay, yeah, Baldwin's running away with this. And then Baldwin has three straight turnovers on their next three drives. A pair of interceptions there and a fumble recovery. One of the interceptions was by Britton Traylor. He also got the fumble recovery. And then Potts Camp turned two of those three drives into touchdowns, both to Britton Traylor. That's why I'm talking about these athletes at Potts Camp. Britton Traylor may be the most athletic kid on that team. And he probably could play for Baldwin.
Yeah.
Because especially now with the news, Hasten Nelson, the wide receiver from Baldwin, is out for the rest of the regular season.
You had not told me that.
Yeah, it was in my gamer.
I should read the paper more often.
Yeah, yeah. Did
they know that night he was out?
He injured his foot, or foot, ankle, lower leg, had a small fracture there Monday in practice leading into Potts Camp week. So they knew going into the game that they weren't going to have him not going to have him for the rest of the regular season probably.
That sucks.
Huge loss. He's top five in the state in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns.
He's having a huge season.
As a sophomore, has like three or four interceptions, I believe, on defense too. So it was a huge loss coming into that. But Baldwin found a way to like I said, to kind of find that. I'm sure they would like that Britton Traylor be on this side because Traylor had a touchdown passes, back-to-back possessions off the first two turnovers, 61 yards and 64 yards.
Mm.
Just burned, toasted the ball in secondary where Nelson normally is roaming there at safety.
Right.
And so you look back, and it's 14-13 at the end of the first quarter, and you think, oh, you got a game. And then from there, Baldwin's offense stopped turning the ball over.
Yeah.
And then that defense took over.
And then five unanswered touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah. And all of it was on the run game except in the fourth quarter, I think Marshall hit Caden Stewart on a 51-yard touchdown pass when the game was out of hand. It was running clock. But, that defense, and I wrote about him last week, Rodney Stewart, five tackles for loss, four sacks in the game.
Yes, I saw those numbers.
I think he's up to 11 sacks or something on the season.
He's got 28 tackles for loss,
something like that. I mean, and he's a huge part of that. But that whole defense is just playing really well this year. And that's why Baldwin's our number one ranked small score right now. So.
Yeah. Some other scores of note from last weekend. North Pontotoc defeated New Albany 24-14. So, New Albany in some trouble. They're 0-3 in division. Tied for last with South Pontotoc, who they play this week.
Yeah, that's a must win.
Yeah, it is.
For both teams. But,
yeah. Yeah, Houston with a nice bounce-back win over Pontotoc 34-27. Of course, they lost to North Pontotoc the week before. I saw that game. But, Pontotoc, even without its normal quarterback, is still a tough team to deal with. So that's a good quality win for Houston. And then Amory, this was the most surprising. Maybe Noxubee County isn't what it was last year, but it's still the reigning North half champ in 3A. And Amory defeated Noxubee 34-22.
Yeah, Noxubee's Noxubee.
Yeah, I had a story on Amory. I had a story on Amory earlier this week. Jeterian Ware, the quarterback for them, playing pretty well, and of course he got Charleston Fringe and some other guys on defense that you know about, like T.J. Huppert and Nathaniel Walker. But they've had a lot of new kids step up in the roles and really excel. So that's they're off to a good start at 3-0 in division play. Let's look ahead to some of this week's big games. Hey, the little Egg Bowl is back. He got hit by COVID last year. They couldn't play it. So now Oxford will visit Starkville on Friday night. Starkville, of course, undefeated 8-0. Oxford coming off a loss at Clinton, which was, I won't say shocking because Clinton's been in some games I think they were 2-4 going in, but they had some close losses. But Oxford did not play well, clearly, losing 23-6. And, you know, that defense is really good for Oxford with Sanford and Gabeau and Will Fawn and Demonte Mitchell and all those guys. But the offense has been a problem at times for Oxford. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to find enough answers against a Starkville team that plays some pretty good defense and offensively is led by Trey Petty, dual threat, one of the best quarterbacks in the state, maybe the best, who knows, just a sophomore, Braylon Burnside at receiver, Tyler Nichols at running back. So I give Starkville an edge in this game for sure.
Yeah, and especially on home field. I can't remember exactly what the stat is. But
oh, they've not lost a home game.
In like 50 tries or something.
40-something straight games.
I think Chris Jones is undefeated as the head coach of Starkville at home. So, yeah, good luck with that. I mean, Oxford, if there's a team capable of going and doing it, I would have a lot of faith in Oxford going down there and doing that.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that's a tough place to win.
It is. You got Caledonia at Itawamba AHS. Itawamba and Caledonia are tied for first place in Division 1-4A. Yeah, 1-4A.
I keep wanting to say 2-4A because they were both 2-4A last
2-4A
year.
Is the Highway 15 yes. crowd, Ripley and North and South and Palo Alto. So, yeah, they're both 7-1 overall. And, of course, you know, Itawamba, they got Isaac Smith, Tay Chandler. Their quarterback, Ty Davis, had a huge game last week.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah,
he's good.
Yeah, he is. He passed for, I think, it was like 387 and four touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
Throw in Isaac Smith.
Tay Chandler.
Our best of troop.
Yes, and then on defense, again, Smith and Chandler.
Gavin Freeman's
been really good.
I
don't know much about Caledonia, except that they're obviously playing very well. I've been trying to get stats from the coach, but he hasn't gotten them to me yet.
Yeah, I seen they played Morville last week, and they had a running back that had 6 carries for like well over 200, maybe 300 yards.
Yeah, they scored like 61, didn't they?
And 5 touchdowns. Yeah, they beat Morville 61-41. Yeah. Caledonia actually has not lost a game on the field.
Their loss
came to New Hope in the season opener forfeit during COVID.
Right.
So Caledonia has, I mean, despite being 7-1, is undefeated on the field. This matchup is, I honestly would tab it as the game of the week. The Little Egg Bowl, I know that's probably blasphemy to say that, with the week that the Little Egg Bowl is going on. But, man, these two teams, they're probably in the top 5 of 4A and across the state, I would say.
Yeah, and this one ought to be a good one too. Ripley at Houston. Now, that's a big Division 2 4A game.
Yeah.
And, boy, you're going to see two of the best running backs around in that game. Jalen Washington for Houston is over 1,000 yards rushing now. Mm-hmm. And Emmanuel Griffin of Ripley is almost there. He's got 990 rushing for Ripley. So that's pretty much your matchup analysis. Just watch the running backs.
Yeah. Watch number 3 for Ripley, number 24 for Houston. You'll probably know where the ball is at when you see those two.
Yeah. I would give Houston an edge because of Red Parker, who can also run it and can throw it.
Yeah. Right. And so both of them powerful rushing attacks, but they get it done in different ways. Obviously, with Red, more of a running quarterback like that too, where Ty Long at Ripley is not going to. He has reads to run it off that veer option offense,
sure.
But most of the time he's giving it to somebody else. But Ripley with that wing T attack, they're going to give it to Griffin more times than not. But they've got other guys that they kind of hand it around to, so it's a little different looking. But both teams have been able to run the ball really effectively this year, and it'll be interesting to see that. I'll be there Friday for that one.
But I will say I don't think Ripley's seen a quarterback quite like Red Parker.
No,
I'm just looking at some of their opponents. I mean. A guy who is a legit dual threat and has a ton of experience. If I were picking, I'd probably pick Houston to win a close one. But don't discount that Ripley defense.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was trying to think of Houston's schedule. I know they missed their first two games of the year, but I was trying to think if they've saw a defense like Ripley's yet. Because I think at this point it's safe to say what Ripley's been able to accomplish defensively.
Yeah.
Especially over division play has been just outstanding.
Yeah,
so,
definitely. Okay, so those are some games to watch this weekend. Look for our coverage in the Daily Journal and at djournal.com. Let's talk volleyball. We've got the state championships coming up on Saturday. Dylan and I both got out Tuesday night. He saw Alcorn Central beat Kossuth in the 3A North Half Final. I saw Belmont beat Walnut in dominating fashion in the 2A North Final. So let's Let's set up the state finals here. We got them at two spots. At Clinton High School, you'll have 1A, 3A, and 5A. At Ridgeland High School, 2A, 4A, 6A. And we've got a team in each game, which is really cool.
Area domination.
That's right. So in 1A, Hickory Flat will take on Resurrection Catholic. In 3A, Alcorn Central takes on Our Lady Academy, which is just always down there winning championships. I mean,
they won nine in a row until last year.
Goodness. So, yeah. In 5A, Lafayette will take on Van Cleve. So those games are at Clinton starting at noon. Then at Ridgeland in 2A, you've got Belmont taking on Sacred Heart, Pontotoc against Pass Christiane in 4A. And then 6A, it's Oxford, which has been just totally dominant this year, against Brandon.
Yeah.
We got a chance to bring home some titles.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
I think Oxford definitely would be probably favorited in that.
Yeah.
And you look at Pontotoc, Van Cleve is almost exactly like OLA. Mm-hmm. Van Cleve has always been in the way. They were in the way last year for Pontotoc, last year when they were down there. Now Van Cleve's jumped up to 5A this year, so Lafayette's got to deal with them.
Mm.
And Pontotoc kind of has a path there now after – pulling to get down two sets to Caledonia last night and then pulled it off. So I think the way Belmont played.
I don't know, man. I don't know nothing about Sacred Heart.
But poor Sacred Heart if you see that Belmont team.
I was telling Dylan earlier in the office, that's the most dominant performance and the best all-around performance I've seen by a team this year, a volleyball team, the way Belmont played against Walnut. I mean, just – offense was almost flawless. I mean, from of course Kirsten Moody to Kate Green to Sadie Randolph, all getting it done at the net.
Mm-hmm.
I think those three combined for like the 28 kills or something. You had Madison McCaig.
31 assists.
Yeah,
right?
31 assists. I mean, she was making set after set. They were just almost always perfect. And just really set it up for her hitters, and so that was an outstanding performance. And Coach Stephanie Cleveland certainly likes the way they're playing right now, so yeah. I think they got a great shot to win.
That, and I think I'll call my shot here on air. Uh-huh. I think Hickory Flat gets it done this year.
Think so.
That rematch of last year.
Yeah, Resurrection beat them last year.
He was
didn't
there,
they?
And Hickory Flat, pretty much, they'll tell you that they choked that one away. They got up these, like, 8-10-point leads in all those sets that they had last year against Resurrection, and then just crumbled somehow. If you've been around them this year, they've been talking about that, circling, knowing that they're probably going to get Resurrection again. And Emma Wilson had a huge night against Ingemar.
Mm-hmm.
And
she had like 16 kills or
something. And you think about Macy Pfeiffer and Katie Jo Bird on the other side of that net for Ingemar that can pose some problems. I mean, I know Resurrection's a private school and they're probably pretty good again. They're defending champs. But I'm going to put my money on Emma Wilson and Hickory Flat, I think, getting that one done at 1A. So I think we got a lot of trophies coming back up to Hill Country for volleyball. So.
Yeah, we got a lot of private schools in the finals. Resurrection in 1A, Our Lady in 3A, Sacred Heart in 2A. Yeah, so there you go. That's another discussion for another day.
Correlation.
Let's wrap it up with the athletes of the week. Male athlete of the week, I mentioned him a while ago, Ty Davis, the quarterback for Itawamba AHS, in that 51-27 win over Corinth last Friday. He completed 15 of 29 passes for 387 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a pick. And this kid just continues to get better, it seems like. He got some good weapons around him, too.
Just a junior.
You know, female athlete of the week, Kirsten Moody, the outside hitter for Belmont. As I mentioned, she had a big night last night against Walnut. 17 kills, 9 digs, and 2 aces in that actually, I'm going back to her past two games. 17 kills, 9 digs, 2 aces in the 3-0 win over Myrtle on Thursday back in the second round. And in Tuesday's North Half final against Walnut, Moody had 14 kills, 6 digs, and 3 aces. So she is very good at the volleyball. It's just a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the time we got for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Hey, be sure to check out Pizza Doctor, by the way. Midtown Point, Tupelo. Delicious. Okay, go pay him a visit. You can catch us every Wednesday in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on there at Brad Locke, and Dylan's on there at Dylan Barnes DJ. And we'll see y'all next week.